Welcome back. Junkies come to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. In Richmond, you can listen to us on 910 The Fan or 105.1 on the FM side. We're streaming live on the Odyssey app. You can take us on the go wherever you may be, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by friends of Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cakes Auville and Jason Bishop. EB's following Cornell Volleyball. I believe he's heading to Syracuse. So he'll be back on Monday. But joining us right now, as he does every Friday at this time, is our pal John Feinstein, best-selling author, Washington Post columnist. He's brought to you by Golfman, where you can custom fit the new GT medals from Titleist, the new Apex irons from Callaway, and more. Visit them at Tysons, Rockville, or Annapolis. You can get your game ready for fall golf. Golfdom by Worldwide Golf. Get there. Good morning, John.
Morning, fellas. How's everybody?
Hey, what's up, John?
What are the weekend plans, John?
The weekend plans are very exciting. You guys are welcome to come down to keep unpacking the house. Still got a long way to go.
I'm busy with something.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Anything and other than unpacking your house.
Yeah. Well, you remember the Seinfeld episode where Keith Hernandez asked him to help him move? Mm-hmm. And Jerry's like, I, this is too early in a relationship to help somebody yeah. move. I just can't do it.
Also, that's a move like when you have friends in their 20s and 30s, you ask them to help you move. But
yes, exactly.
Not when
exactly.
you get.
I fortunately have a young son who has been a huge help in making progress.
Very good.
Well, he's moved. It's the unpacking.
Yeah, that part
putting things in the right place
is the worst part. Although the move was a nightmare too.
Yeah.
But the unpacking, you know, I'm sitting here. I'm actually in one of the rooms that is unpacked, but I'm looking at other rooms from here that, you know, still look like a warehouse. It's life, right?
Yep. It is life.
Yes, it is. You'll get through it.
In Spanish, say poco a poco se va lejos. Little by little, you go far. Just you'll be
exactly.
fine.
Exactly. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. I spoke French in my younger days, but not much Spanish.
So we opened the show, even though it's a football Friday, talking about Shohei Ohtani.
How can you not?
I mean, 6 for 6, 10 RBIs, becomes the first 50-50 guy. And next year he's going to come back and pitch. Have you seen?
I mean,
it's rhetorical. Have you seen anything like this? You haven't.
No, you haven't. He's the unicorn. That's the saying today. Babe Ruth did stuff along these lines in 1916, 17, 18. No one has ever done this before. And I keep seeing stories on the internet because this is what the internet does. He could be the next Shohei Ohtani. It's like when they say he could be the next Tiger Woods. No, there's one. And I doubt if there's going to be a second one anytime in my lifetime. That's for sure.
So, John, if you emerged from the dog pile at the Marlins Stadium last night with that 50th home run ball, do you give it back to Ohtani or the Dodgers,
yeah.
or do you go sell it for $1 million?
No, I would give it to Ohtani. I could use the million, but
well, good.
To me, in those situations, it belongs to the player. He made the history. He's part of history, and I would give it to Ohtani and hope maybe I'd get Dodger season tickets or something out of it.
Nah, I'd sell it.
Yeah, I'm team selling.
Well, and again, if you did sell it, I wouldn't blame you.
Yeah,
I mean, if the money is what we're talking about here,
yeah.
you know, it's like when David Faraday went to LIV. And he went from $1 million a year with 1 year left on his contract to $5 million a year for 5 years guaranteed. I could sit here very easily and say, oh, I would never do that. It's blood money. But if the offer had been made to me, I'd have had to think about it.
It's kind of incredible. Shohei has won 2 MVPs, going to win a third. And I mean, if he stays healthy, he looks like the way he's, you know, he's hitting the ball. He makes it look so effortless. And the way he can run the bags, he could win 6 or 7 MVPs, if not more.
Yeah, he could. If again, it's always the caveat if he stays healthy. And of course, he had to have Tommy John surgery, which is why he didn't pitch this year. But I agree with you. I mean, his ability, and he seems to. Still love to compete. You know, the greatest athletes are the ones who get the multi-million dollar contract and still want to be the best. And you pick a sport. And Ohtani seems to be one of those guys. What did he sign for? $700 million, I think?
Yeah, and almost all of it's deferred, too.
Yeah, so he's got all the money in the world, but he still wants to be great. And he is great. And I love watching him play. There are very few, at this stage in my life, there are very few guys who, for me, are their at-bats are must-see. His at-bats are must-see, if you're any kind of baseball fan.
And I know you're a Mets fan, but if the Mets didn't get there, this would be the year to have Yankees, Dodgers in the World Series, because you'd have Judge and Shohei.
Right, right. It would be cool and throw in Soto. Yes, I am a Mets fan, and I did read the story in the Washington Post the other day after the Mets won the first game of that series 2-1, mm-hmm. saying the Nationals showed they're not intimidated by the Mets. You know, they right. stood up to the Mets, and then they lost the next two games 20-1 total.
Yeah, that was a beatdown.
Oh, my gosh, it was a beatdown. At least the Nats were competitive last night. But I keep reading all these stories, making excuses for the young players, and I want to see what happens next year. It'll be very interesting, because next year is supposed to be the year they finally break out of this five-year losing scheme.
Well, we'll see. Well, and then, by the way, the Mets pounded the ball again last night.
They
scored another 10. They scored 30 runs in the last three games. Incredible.
Yeah, I was driving back from Washington, and I was able to pick the game up, you know, because the signal is so strong from both WFAN and WCBS out of New York, and they did pound the ball. They just started hitting home runs out of the gate and kept hitting home runs.
Talking to best-selling author and Washington Post columnist John Feinstein, you mentioned LIV. Apparently, there's some sort of hiccup here between the PGA Tour and LIV, where some of the guys want the LIV players to return their money.
Right. Or some of their money.
Well, that ain't happening.
Yeah, well, I mean, what are the chances of that happening?
No, zero.
Yeah.
Zero. That's not going to happen. That's not going to be part of the deal if they ever get a deal. Hiccup. Jeepers. We've had a million hiccups to the point where you'd have to call the emergency room. No, that's not going to happen. And it is good that the LIV players are going to play in the Ryder Cup, because the Ryder Cup will be better with them than without them.
Right.
And the majors are better with them than without them. But the sport is still divided. And to me, I mean, Jay Monahan's a nice guy. But to me, you need somebody running the PGA Tour who can get something done here. I mean, Monahan from day one was reactive rather than proactive. He looked up when, you know, the horse was out of the barn and said, looks like the horse is out of the barn. And, you know, what was it? It's more than a year and a half now almost, since they announced the quote-unquote merger, and there hasn't been a single step forward and from anybody.
Hey, how long do you think it's going to take?
Jason, I have no idea. I have no idea, because I don't know what the hell's going on. Mm-hmm. Why? It's one of those deals to me where if I'm the PGA Tour and I'm LIV, I'm getting in a room and I'm not leaving the room until I have some kind of an agreement. Whatever the agreement is. I mean, there are 47 different ways you can go, but they're just kind of cruising along saying, oh, guess what? Tiger Woods came to a meeting. Well, great.
All right. What happened in the meeting? Nothing.
Tiger's coming in and being Josiah Bartlett from West Wing and pounding his fist on the table and saying, nobody leaves until this is done. Who cares?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Speaking of money, your boy Adrian Wojnarowski, I don't know how well you know him. I assume you do.
I know him quite well, actually. Yeah.
I couldn't believe he was making the money that he was making at ESPN. But now he's decided, you know what? I got plenty of money.
Right.
The job's getting to me.
I'm going to go do something I'll enjoy.
I'm going to go do something I enjoy. I'm going to be a general manager of a hoops team, a college hoops team.
Right, right. Well, mostly a lot of his job is going to be the NIL stuff.
Right.
He should be good at it. And Bob Arena, the AD, who's an old friend of mine from his days at Army, I talked to him yesterday, and I said, you just pulled the biggest coup of the year in college sports. by getting Woj. And I'm happy for Woj because I know he was burned out. I mean, ESPN is relentless. I mean, Woj could make 20 stories in a row, and if he didn't break the 21st, they'd be, well, how did you miss that?
Mm-hmm.
I had a boss like that at the Washington Post, so I can relate. And, you know, he reached the point where he said, you know what, I've made a lot of money. My family's comfortable financially. I love St. Bonaventure. It's his alma mater. And why don't I do something different where somebody's not texting me or on the phone every 5 minutes saying, what about this? What about that? He told Beretta when they were talking about the job that he'd gotten to the point where if he was in the shower, his phone would have to be right next to the shower in case it rang.
Right.
And to me, anyway, that's no way to live. And he's a bright, talented guy, and I think this is a great thing for him, for St. Bonaventure, and for college athletics. Not so great for ESPN.
Yeah, he's got plenty of money. I mean, even though he's walking away from 20.
He's got plenty of money. And in fact, when it was Woj who went to Bob with the idea, and Bob said, well, wait a minute. Well, you know, we can't afford to pay you a fraction of what you're getting at ESPN. And Woj just said, I don't care. Don't worry about that. I just think this sounds like a job I'd enjoy.
Yeah, it's almost like he's working for free compared to what he was making at ESPN.
It's probably close from the sound of it.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Good for him.
Yeah, it's good.
I sent him a note, and I congratulated him on returning from the dark side.
Hey, did you watch the Jets game last night?
I did not. As I said, I was driving home from D.C. last night.
Oh, that's
and
right.
When I got home, I checked the score and went to bed.
Yeah.
And good for the Jets for winning against a team that I think is going to win like four games.
How about the statistic, though, that last night's touchdown pass from Aaron Rodgers to Garrett Wilson, his 480th, was the first time he ever threw one to a first-round pick?
Well,
that's kind of crazy.
A lot about Rodgers, doesn't it?
Yeah.
How so many touchdown passes to non-first-round picks.
Yeah, he elevates guys around him.
He always.
Yeah.
I mean, look, there are a lot of things about Aaron Rodgers to question on a personal level. But to question his greatness as a quarterback is ridiculous. The only question was, how healthy could he be coming back from the Achilles? And he appears to be okay.
Appears to be fine. And Davante Adams, who he threw a bunch of touchdowns to, was a second-round pick. So
I did see that he did throw a touchdown to pass to Mercedes Lewis, but he's a tight end.
Ah.
It was a first-round pick. So no wide receiver.
No wide receiver first-round. Okay, got you.
Right. And look, it doesn't matter who you throw touchdown passes to.
Yeah.
Although I guess the new phrase on ESPN, I was watching a highlight show the other day, is tutty. It's not a touchdown.
It's a tutty.
Yeah, you're, yeah. Hey, look at John getting up to date with the
Don't you know the Commander's mascot?
Is it tutty, the new one? Is
Major,
that what
tutty. Major tutty. It's a pig.
God help me. But the other thing that I don't understand, now I've been following baseball since I was 6 years old, literally. And I watch a lot of baseball, as you guys know. And I've written books about baseball. Where the hell did the sweeper come from? I never heard of that pitch till like 2 years
like the
ago.
Slow curve?
Yeah, now, again, I'm listening to the Mets game last night, and every other pitch, according to the play-by-play guys, was a sweeper.
Was it a lefty throwing?
Isn't that a curveball?
Was it a left-handed pitcher on the mound? Because I hear it a lot from lefties that throw like that slow
Severino
curveball.
From the Mets is a righty.
Okay.
I think Taijuan Walker is a righty, too, although he might as well be throwing standing on his head right now.
Yeah. I don't know. They come up with new names all the time. But, yeah, I don't know who it was, but they were breaking down his pitch count. And it might have been in the Mets Nat series. But whoever it had thrown eight different pitches, including a sweeper.
Yes. Yeah.
including a sweeper.
And, by the way, if the Nats were throwing sweepers, they weren't sweeping.
No, they weren't.
So.
They were sleeping, but not sleeping. Hey,
they were put to sleep.
So do you think I can't believe that as bad as the Pats were last night, that they beat the Bengals in week one. But they did. They played much better than the Bengals. They got some luck, but they won. But how do you think the Commanders fare next Monday?
Well, I told you I thought they were going to beat Tampa Bay, and they didn't. So I'm going to tell you, I don't think they're going to beat the Bengals, and they probably will. Bengals are desperate.
Yes.
The Bengals have to win. They can't afford to go to 0-3. Of course, neither could Florida State, and they're 0-3. But I think that's a tough out. I watched the Bengals-Chiefs game last Sunday, and it was a really good game, and the Bengals played well, you know, against arguably the best team in football. The Commanders are not the best team in football. And I think that's going to be a tough out for them. And if they lose, no one should panic. And if they win, no one should buy Super Bowl tickets.
Right, correct.
That is correct.
On both counts.
All right, well, your boys play Memphis this weekend. Memphis has a really good offense.
This is a really interesting game for Navy because they won. They're 2-0 for the first time since 2019. And they won their first two games against kind of meager opposition. FCS team, Temple's not any good, although Temple beat them last year. So that was a good sign that they beat Temple easily. But Memphis has ambitions for the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
The league is not what it used to be when Houston and Cincinnati and Central Florida were still part of it. And they've got a chance to run the table. They always have a good offense. Their defense is apparently better this year. They've got 9 turnovers in 3 games. And so the midshipmen have to go in there and not turn the ball over to have a chance to win. And it's at Navy Marine Corps, and it should be a very interesting afternoon.
All right, John, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks, pal. Have a good weekend.
Enjoy the unpacking.
What time should I look for you? About 10 o'clock tomorrow?
Yeah, 10 past never.
The same time we'll look for you at our next poker open or our next spring break party.
Right.
If I'm not there, you better start without me.
Correct.
Yeah.
Thanks, John.
See you guys.
See you, buddy.
John Feinstein brought to you by Golfdom, where you can custom fit the new GT Metals from Titleist or the new Apex Irons from Callaway. Visit them in Tyson's, Rockville, or Annapolis to get your game ready for fall golf. Golfdom by Worldwide Golf. Get there. Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. Commanders, of course, face the Bengals in Week 3 on Monday Night Football. A lot of people have been praising Jaden Daniels' play so far, especially when they compare it to the other rookies.
Yeah, definitely.
Caleb Williams has yet to throw a touchdown pass, has a couple interceptions in this last game, was sacked 7 times. Cakes is dubbed Bo Nix, Bo Pix.
It's a great nickname. I can't be the only one. I'm probably stealing that from somebody, but it works. It's apropos for the way he's played so far. 4 picks through 2 games, and now he goes on the road to take on Tampa Bay. Even though they have a reduced secondary, I would expect him to struggle in that game, too.
Meanwhile, Jaden Daniels, not exactly setting the world on fire with his passing, but overall hasn't thrown a pick, so he's taken care of the ball, and has found the end zone twice with his legs, getting a lot of praise from the analysts who are looking at film, and has emerged as the rookie of the year favorite. Are you buying in? We'll put that up as our Scotty's Vodka poll of the day, our Junkies poll of the day. Scotty's Vodka, Maryland made, super smooth, love throughout the DMV. Will Jaden Daniels win rookie of the year? If you want to chime in, you can call us at 800-636-1067. And what do you think thus far about how he's seeing the field? I mentioned earlier that there was one of these film nerds who was breaking down Terry McLaurin's film and saying that he was open, that Jaden didn't hit him here. I liked how Jaden Daniels, I gave him the highest grade this week. You guys all gave him B's, and that's fair. He didn't throw a touchdown pass. They had to settle for field goals, had red zone issues. But I liked how in the second half he did start throwing the ball more downfield. Like, I think you're going to see more of that.
And look, if you're Cliff Kingsbury and the staff, do you want to overload your rookie quarterback with a bunch of deep passes that he might not be ready for? Why wouldn't you ease him into it? Why wouldn't you just give him a little bit at a time and build on his successes and open up the playbook a little bit more each week? Look, they know they're not contending for a Super Bowl this year. They're trying to develop a young quarterback.
Yeah.
So I don't have any problem whatsoever with the measured approach, short passing, get the ball out of your hands quickly, minimize turnovers. Completely fine with that because he will keep building on that. That's the kind of, that's the way I'm looking at
but
it.
But eventually you want to see him start taking shots downfield.
Definitely.
I mean, you want to see more explosive offense.
Of course. You
don't
want to
see seven
things.
Field goals.
I think you saw that, though, with the pass to Noah Brown.
I think you did a little bit.
Couple to Ertz.
I think you saw a little bit of it. You're going to see more of it, but it might be this week. It might be Monday night. Who knows? I mean, they got some banged up DBs. But Marvin Harrison's, after the week he had last week, he's not out of the picture.
He'll be in contention, especially if he keeps stacking weeks similar to
and
that.
He's got a quarterback that's going to throw it to him and target him.
Right.
Neighbors obviously had a huge game last week against Washington, but his quarterback is limited. So,
but he's going to get every opportunity.
He's going to get all the opportunities.
He's going to get so many passes thrown his way.
Now, Caleb,
as long as he stays healthy.
Caleb is pretty far behind in my eyes right now, but who knows? What if he has two or three really good games? And
I don't think any of the quarterbacks are far behind because Jaden doesn't have a touchdown pass.
True.
So they're all even in touchdown passes. Has Jaden played better than the other two? And if you had to vote right now, you would vote for him over the other two quarterbacks? Sure, but there's not enough separation yet because, like you said, let's say Caleb wins, throws three touchdown passes, all of a sudden you're like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think right now, I mean, it's so early in the season, he's only played two games, but it would be between Jaden and Harrison and Neighbors.
Right.
Hey,
they
what about
the front runners?
Hey, what about Joe Alt? Offensive linemen need some love. Joe Alt is dominating in San Diego.
He's played really well through the first two games.
They just, I mean, linemen just don't get any love for
this. Has that ever happened?
Linemen win Rookie of the Year or any type of award? I don't know. But, I mean, if the quarterbacks are, you know, mid, as the kids say, through 18 weeks, and, you know, the production of wide receivers isn't jumping off the page, and Joe Alt is just performing week in and week out, I don't know how you can't give it to him.
Well,
I don't even see a defensive guy
he's
winning it, I guess, because they have a separate, they have offensive rookie of the year and defensive rookie of the year. I don't see an lineman ever.
It's a quarterback driven league.
It's going to be tough for it. I mean, Joe Alt could be outstanding throughout his rookie campaign. It's just going to be tough for
That sucks, doesn't it?
But that's just the way it is. It's the way the award is.
Well, why can't we change how it is?
I mean, if you go back to...
Because the odds are what they are. I mean, if you put $20 on Joe Alt to win Rookie of the Year, you're going to win $5,000.
If you go back to when RG3...
That sounds like a drab bet right there.
If you go back to when RG3 won Rookie of the Year in 2012, it's been quarterback. Then Keenan Allen, Odell Beckham Jr., two wide receivers. Then Todd Gurley, Zeke, Kareem Hunt, Alvin Kamara, Saquon Barkley, bunch of running backs. Then Kyler Murray, last 5 years, Herbert, Jamar Chase, Garrett Wilson, CJ Stroud.
Yeah, seems like a skill position award.
Of course.
I mean, in the history, you know who's having a good start to their season for rookie? But I've only seen one guy at his position win Rookie of the Year. Brock Bowers is putting up some numbers at tight end.
What's kind of weird, the Raiders they're passing a ton. Like,
they are
above their expectations. Like, people thought that would be a run-first, heavy run team.
Matt Cahill hopes they don't pass
they're
a lot.
Passing a lot with Minshew.
In Sunday's game.
With Minshew to Adams and to Bowers.
Now, so Bowers doesn't have a touchdown.
If you've got Adams and Bowers to throw to, I mean, Bowers is like a receiver.
Right.
He's got 15 catches already.
Right.
Yeah.
In two games.
He'll be in the mix if he keeps doing what he's done through the first 2 weeks.
So he'll likely have, I mean, if you project it out, you know, 80 to 90 catches and 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
He's currently 14-1 on the updated odds.
Not a bad pick.
But if I have to vote, you can vote at Junks Radio poll of the day. Right now, I'll give it a yes.
I felt it was kind of unfair for the articles, I think, that came out in the past day or two that just automatically lumped in Jaden Daniels with Knicks and Williams for their struggles. It was like, oh, look at the struggles of the rookie quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a little unfair to Jaden because I think
he hasn't struggled like the other two.
He's clearly been better than the other two at this point.
Yeah. I guess they were just kind of basing that off of what happened in the Giant game.
And that he hasn't thrown a touchdown yet.
He hasn't thrown a touchdown.
I'm sure that played into it. But I just felt like that was unfair to just lump in Jaden with the real struggles of Bo Nix and Caleb Williams through the first 2 weeks.
800-636-1067. We know it's early. It's 2 weeks. He is the betting favorite. Do you like what you've seen from Jaden Daniels thus far? When you talk about the comparisons, Cakes, like when you look at quarterback rating, it's not even close. Jaden Daniels, like in the traditional rating, is at 97.
Right.
Whereas Bo Nix is at 51 and Caleb Williams is at 53. Yeah.
I mean, he's basically doubling their quarterback rating.
And then even the QBR, where Jaden's not great, he's kind of below average, I think at his 44. Now he's at 46.8. I mean, Bo Nix is 36 and Caleb Williams is 24.
Right.
So, yeah, there's a huge separation in terms of quality of play.
Caleb's been sacked a bunch.
They're insulting him by putting him by mentioning him with those other two names at this point.
All right, let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. You want to call us on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines?
We're just waiting for people to call about Jaden Daniels. Jeez. The guy who's on the line right now wants to talk about UVA.
Oh, my bad.
Gardner Minshew. Gardner Minshew is completing 78% of his passes.
Yeah. I mean, look, if you're
that's a big number.
Pierce and
I mean, it's 2 weeks.
And your rushing attack is struggling. You might as well lean into that connection that Minshew has with Devontae Adams and Brock Bowers.
Right.
If you're going to move the ball, if you want to be effective on offense, you're not just going to slam it with Zamir White and get 3 yards per carry and punt a bunch. You play to your strengths.
Man, that's a great survivor pick this week.
The Raiders at home against the Panthers. I don't even pay attention to the survivor anymore.
You will in a few weeks.
I just lament the fact that we got knocked out after 1 week. Can't get it out of my brain. All right, let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067, the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Let's go to Aina in Vienna. Aina, you're on with the Junkies. Good morning.
Yeah, it's Ian in Vienna.
Ian, what's up?
So let me say this, the positives. I think Jaden Daniels is very smooth as a player. To make the analogy, he's like a Federer on the field. He's just got a very innate sense of how to make it look easy. The flip side of that is that there's a little bit of California nonchalance to him that just drives me crazy. And it's been here from the beginning. Like, oh, I'll just take Trestway's number. It's all good. Oh, I'll make a bet with Malik Nabers. It's all good. And I'm going to call an audible. It's fine. There's no big deal. And I think that nonchalance in his personal attitude permeates on the field, where there's a lot of hero ball to him. He's like, one read, two read. You know what? I'm faster than everybody. I'll just run around and make a play. It's going to work until it doesn't work. And he takes a boatload of hits, whether it's in college or whether it's here. And people always try to kind of back justify that, oh, he's trying to do too much. He's such a competitor, this, that, the other. I think he's great and has the potential to be great. But if he doesn't clean up his running style, ability to slide, his nonchalance that I'm faster than everybody, it's just not going to last. It's not going to last at all. He's too small. He's taking too many hits. Cam Newton can't take that many hits, and he's probably half the size of Cam. So those are my thoughts on Jaden.
All right, thanks, Ian. Appreciate it.
Definitely a worry.
Yeah, I mean,
we talked about it on Monday.
Some people feel the same way.
I mean, he went down for just a play when Driscoll ran on the field, but you were nervous for a while.
You were terrified for about a minute.
Yeah.
A minute and a half. You're like, oh. Your worst fears are coming to realization early in the season.
When he was on his back and he's lifting up his leg and slamming it down, I thought broken ribs.
Right. Or at least bruised ribs, something that's going to keep him out the rest of the game.
I thought he was going to be out the rest of the game.
Yeah.
I was very surprised.
He's a competitor. He's tough. He gathered himself on the sideline and came right back out. Let's go to Dimitri. Dimitri, you're on with the Junkies. Good morning.
Good morning, Jones. How are you?
What's up?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, look, I am absolutely just, I love what I see, honestly. Just question, like, when's the last time we had a quarterback that was 75% on his passing?
I mean,
it's probably been a while.
Yeah, been a while. 410 passing yards, 132 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns, 96.1 passer rating. I mean, the guy's, he's doing good for what he has. He doesn't have any. I'm telling you, you put Caleb Williams on the Commanders and you put Jaden Daniels on the Bears. Jaden Daniels would be very, very pleased. I'm pretty sure his coaches would be as well. He would have all the weapons. You know what I'm saying? I think that the fan base is really, really protective of him. The NFL had made a post on Instagram, and they said they were just, you know, kind of praising Jaden Daniels and saying that he's the only rookie quarterback who hasn't thrown a pick and hasn't turned it over, stuff mm-hmm. like that. And I had agreed with somebody that said, hey, you know, he also doesn't have any passing touchdowns. And, I mean, our fan base just, I mean, filleted me. It was bad. Like, they were just like, well, you suck. Get out of the Commanders fan base. I'm like, whoa. I haven't seen this kind of protection since RG3's rookie year. So, I mean, I love how our fan base is reacting to him. I do think he needs to slide a little bit more or get out of bounds. But I do think he takes chances when it needs to be taken. I think that sometimes it's like, okay, if we're tied or if we're losing by three, I'm going to get this first down.
Yeah, because that's in his DNA. He's going to do that. He's going to try to get the extra yardage. He's going to try to
pick up the first down. But that could come back to haunt him, though.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
But he also may learn. He's played two NFL games.
Right.
True.
He's going to continue to get better.
I've brought it up.
He's going to expand his toolbox.
Take a look at Josh Allen's rookie season.
Right.
He got a lot better in his second season,
mm-hmm.
and he got better in his third season. So you got to like, I think you got to like what you've seen so far.
Oh, yeah.
We realize there's been a lot of sideways passing. They're number one in the league in that department, passes behind the line of scrimmage. But I think you started to see in the second half with those throws to Noah Brown, with the passes to Ertz, he's definitely capable of throwing the ball downfield.
Of course. The question is, is he just looking at one guy? If that guy's not open, he's jetting.
800-636-1067. You can also vote on our poll, the Scotty's Vodka poll of the day at Junks Radio. Do you think Jaden Daniels can win Rookie of the Year? Coming up later in the show, we'll go around the NFL with the Junkies Blitz, go through the top matchups of the weekend. Plus, Mel Kiper has an idea on how to spice things up in the NFL and get more downfield passing. But a lot of people want to weigh in on Jaden Daniels, whether they think he's in line for Rookie of the Year, their impressions of what he's done so far.
Let's go to the MGM National Harbor Lister lines. Let's go to Mill in Hyattsville. What's up, Mill? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Junks.
Hello.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm very, very optimistic about Jaden. I mean, I continue to say that because he's learning as he's going. And at the same time, I think this will be a really great matchup between them and the Bengals. I mean, I'm not going to say this might be surprising to some people, but I'm not going to say that we may pull this out. But if we pull this out, our schedule will be 2-1, and Joe Burrow and the Bengals will be 0-3. I understand it's far from it, but like you said, he's reading the defenses. DQ is just like, he's surprised that he has, you know, he has literally, his expectations have gone. Have surpassed him a little bit, and at the same time, he continued to even surprise us. That one throw that he had, he was going to his right, and he threw his left. That was a little bit Patrick Mahomes-esque.
Uh-huh.
If anybody's seen that one throw, I think it was to Eckler.
Yeah, that was a nice play design,
that
too.
That was nice, yeah.
Right, yeah, and so stuff like that. I mean, he may have not thrown the ball far and, you know, haven't had a scoring touchdown yet, but things like that continue to amaze me. But that's all I got to say. But I'm looking forward to Monday and very optimistic.
Cool. Very optimistic.
Thanks for the call,
take.
Mill. Appreciate that. Now,
somebody tweeted us this to counter that. This is from James at Junks Radio. Jaden can win Rookie of the Year, but won't. The way he's playing and his refusal to practice sliding says he'll be injured.
I think people just have to stop being scared of him getting injured. Quarterbacks and a ton of other NFL players get injured every single week. It's just part of the game. It's built into the sport that they play.
It is. You just
it's a violent game. Guys are going to get hurt.
You just kind of want to limit it.
Look, I
you know what I mean?
I want to limit the
opportunities for defensive guys to come in and give him a big hit.
I want him to slide and barrel roll and run out of bounds at every opportunity to try to preserve himself. But he's not playing tennis. He's not playing pickleball. He's not playing softball. He's playing NFL football. Guys get hurt every single week. We look at the injury reports every week for every team. Guys get banged up. Just have to live with that.
I think the offensive line is improved from last year.
Yeah.
And I think for the most part, he's had pretty good protection.
Mm-hmm.
I know he was sacked 5 times last week, but a couple of those were read options that just didn't work out. So they were technically sacks.
Yeah.
But they're almost, you know, quarterback runs that are stuffed.
Correct.
Last night I watched Drake May in one series get crunched twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Jets defense.
I thought one of those times he held the ball a little too long, but the other time he just got
his pocket presence was questionable in the one series.
I mean, he was only in there for he's thrown in there and he's not prepared to go in there. You know, it's not like he was practicing all week knowing he was the starter.
Let's go to Ryan in.
There was one time where he got crushed really quick.
Yeah. Ryan in Haymarket, you're on with the Junks. Good morning.
Good morning, fellas. I want to let y'all know, man, I've been listening to your show, watching your show since I was 7. I'm 24 now, about to be 25. So
appreciate
I love
that,
you guys
man. That's like almost 20 years. That's huge. That is appreciated on our end.
And when you were listening when you were seven, we were a little more wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I was listening back in my room. My parents didn't let me have a TV, so I used to listen on the radio.
Oh, nice. Awesome. Okay, cool.
Yeah, so Jaden, the whole situation with Jaden, honestly, I love Jaden as a quarterback. Rookie of the year, I believe he can easily win rookie of the year. You got Bo Pix playing quarterback, and you got Caleb Williams. And honestly, Jaden's played a lot better than all of them. And the whole injury conversation with Jaden is ridiculous. He's not RG3. They just need to settle down. And, like, our fan base has a tendency to, like, just throw that narrative on quarterbacks and stuff like that. So I feel like that's just ridiculous.
Well, I think he's certainly the leader when you compare him to the other two quarterbacks. But
yeah, through 2 weeks, yes.
But the receivers are putting up numbers too. So
none of the running backs really do anything, right? Like I know Bucky Irving's a nice story,
right? But he's like he's a backup.
You're mentioning the Jets guy,
Braylon Allen's he's flashed like the last 2 weeks. Like there's something there. Like
but
the Jets
those aren't.
Found
but he's not a number one.
No,
right
he's
now.
Not going to be in consideration for rookie of the year, but. He's having a nice rookie campaign.
The top running back in terms of the odds is Braylon Allen.
Okay.
But he's 50-1.
Right. You might not want to expect too much passing-wise out of Jaden this week in particular. The Bengals, through 2 weeks, are allowing 128 passing yards per game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, part of that is they faced Jacoby Brissett in week one, and they were very run-heavy. Ramondre just tore them up, so there was no need for him.
But they picked off Mahomes twice.
Yeah, and Patrick Mahomes struggled against his secondary. Yeah. So I would imagine Jaden, Monday Night Football against his secondary, might not see the gaudy numbers that people are hoping for at some point.
Well,
that
like
might
you
come
said,
a little further down the line.
Well, like you said, you're probably going to see a lot of Brian Robinson and Eckler running the ball.
Yes, and Jaden running the ball.
Yeah.
Let's go to Dwayne in College Park. Dwayne, you're on with the Junks. Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Junks? How y'all doing?
Hey, Dwayne.
Great.
Oh, all right. I was calling. I say, I think Jaden Daniels does have a great chance of being a rookie of the year. I think everyone should, you know, just let him play football. You know what I mean? It's like you said, somebody just nailed it on the head. It's a violent sport. You know, other teams, they don't talk about their quarterback getting hurt. So I think we should just let him play, you know, let him play his game and you know, root for him. You know, we fans, just root.
Thanks, Wayne. Appreciate the call. Yeah, I mean,
all right, so some
the fan base is squarely behind Jaden Daniels.
I get it. Some fans know that's part of his game, and they're just willing to deal with it.
Right.
Deal with the risks. I just think that, you know, 16 rushes in the first week, that was way too many.
Yeah.
I think 8 to 10, maybe 12, I think that's a sound number.
Let's go to Marcus in D.C. Marcus, you're on with the Junkies. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are we doing?
Doing well.
What's up?
Good. So I kind of agree with everybody. I mean, I believe he has a fair shot at winning Rookie of the Year. As far as the rushes, and just like I was talking about a few days ago, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't see a lot of improvement from our line. So without those rushes, I mean, I can see, you know, 6 yard losses, 7 yard losses, you know, him taking some, you know, taking some pretty good losses. So of course, I don't want him to rush 16 times in the game, but if, you know, if I see that pocket crashing, I don't want him to go down. So, you know, if he has to run, then I guess I'm all right with that. I understand people's, you know, fear of him getting hurt, but just like you guys said, it's not people ball. It comes with the game. It's a physical sport. Of course, I don't want to see him or don't want him to have to run as much as he does, but if he has to do it, which he's had to, I don't mind it. I would love to see a cleaner pocket,
so that he doesn't have to, and maybe he can get some of those looks down the field that, you know, the fans are wanting. But I still think we have some small issues on that line. And then once we get that together, I feel like we won't see as many rushes as we're seeing now.
It's possible. Look, this is not statistically, but my analysis with my eyeballs is the offensive line seems to be playing better. And even in week one, they gave him time to throw the ball. I just think he's a young quarterback who a lot of times is going to opt to run instead of throw.
That's right. What he's going to do. He's not.
That's his
he's not going
setting,
through three or four progressions. I mean, he's going to see one and probably say, all right, that guy's not open. I got to go.
I don't know if that's California casual, which the one caller posited. I just think that he's super fast. He's been running away from people his whole life. In week one, you saw him running away from people.
But there is progression.
Even like, at this level.
We had Baldy on yesterday. We have him on every week throughout the NFL season. He had a clip of Jaden on his Twitter where he shows him hitting his second read. Like he looks at the first read, it's covered. He goes to, I think it was
Eckler.
It was either Eckler or Ertz over the middle.
Yeah.
But the first read was covered. He didn't tuck it and run. He waited for the second read to come open. They did. And he hit him with a perfect pass.
He's learning.
You're going to see that week by week. You're going to see more of it.
Yeah. He'll be better in week 12 than he was in week
Absolutely.
1 at doing that.
Yep.
800-636-1067 is the number. You can also vote on X @JunksRadio. We'll be right back.